Reverend clergy, venerable religious, dear parishioners and guests, I want to wish you a very grace-filled feast of the most precious blood of Jesus, and to thank you for your presence and your prayers and joining and offering this holy sacrifice of the Mass. I, as a priest, you in a more remote way, in thanksgiving to Almighty God and for my own private intentions. And on this day, as you can well imagine, I am filled with thoughts of gratitude, and I want to express my thanks to so many who have helped me to be who I am and to bring me to this day. And I ask your indulgence as I make this list, and it's a long list, but I think it's so important to express gratitude and to realize that no one can succeed on his own or her own. There are always those who are helping and assisting. And so, with that in mind, I first of all thank Almighty God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest, who in his mercy chose me to the holy priesthood. I thank our Blessed Mother, Queen of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen. She has obviously been a most important part after our Lord. I also want to thank St. Louis Marie de Montfort, the special patron of our religious congregation. He is one we look up to and are inspired by. I want to thank my guardian angel, who has seen every moment of my life and continues to assist me. My parents have now for a long time been passed away, but my gratitude to them for their raising me, for sharing and teaching the Catholic faith to me in their very devout and fervent way. I want to thank my two sisters who have also been privileged to be called to the religious life, Sister Mary Jacinta, Sister Mary Casimira. I want to thank Bishop Mark Pivirunas, our Superior General, and he has been involved in my life for over 50 years. He entered a couple of years before I did, and whenever we were given assignments in school, in the Knights of the Altar, he was always one step or one degree above me, and so we often worked together, and so he truly became a mentor, and I learned so much from him. And when I see the zeal that he has for the church, for the salvation of souls, sometimes I pray if I could only be half as zealous and dedicated as he is in his priestly ministry. Of course, he has the fullness of the priesthood, but he has helped me in so many ways over the years. I would like to express my sincerest thanks to Father Benedict Hughes, who is actually serving as subdeacon at this Mass. When I entered 50 years ago, he was my superior. He was the prefect of seminarians, and I learned many a lesson from him. He gave us many formation classes. I do remember, Father, many of the points that you made, and it just goes to show how important teaching and learning is. And to this day, fellow CMRI priest, he was there when I was ordained 40 years ago on this day, and continues to be a spiritual help and inspiration, confessor. And again, I'm deeply honored that Father is serving assisting in the capacity as subdeacon. Serving as deacon today, Reverend Thomas Netzel, who is a former student. So you, as you see the three of us at the Sedalia, you can see the torch being passed. Father Benedict to myself to Reverend Mr. Netzel. And so this is all part of God's blessing and his beautiful plan. So thank you for getting another opportunity to be deacon today as you continue your preparations for your ordination. I have to express my thanks to Father James McGilloway, who, when I was just a boy, yes, we go back that far, he taught me a very important lesson in prayer. And that was a traumatic day because it was the day my dad ran over my fishing pole. And I was throwing a bit of a hissy fit, being just 10 years old. And he took me to the little shrine of St. Anthony. We had a little outdoor shrine. By the way, I'm glad to see I'm hearing the Mass of St. Anthony being sung by the choir today. But he said, "We are going to pray for a new rod and reel." And I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did. But I'd lost my interest in fishing. But the prayer worked. And Father many times gave sermons, exhortations, formation classes. He was my religion teacher in freshman year of high school. And even today, he told me this morning, "Well, I didn't succeed in helping you be a fisher of fish, but I have helped you to become a fisher of men." I want to thank Father Francis Miller, Franciscan priest, who is here today, who made the trip from Louisiana. So thank you very much. And just 2 days ago, Father celebrated his 41st anniversary of ordination himself. So he's 1 year ahead of me. Thank you for being here. I want to thank my fellow CMRI priests and brothers. They obviously have been such a big part of my life. They are the spiritual family that I enter. They are my brothers in Christ. And actually this year, the bishop, Brother Sebastian, along with Father Dominic and Father Francisco, to my best knowledge, are celebrating their golden jubilee of first profession. So I wish to congratulate them. And they have been there to, of course, be part of my spiritual family. And again, I wouldn't be who I am without them. My fellow CMRI religious sisters, I want to thank Reverend Mother, who knew me from the time I was a boy. And some of the sisters remember me as a boy. I'm thinking Sister Mary Bridget, Mother Mary Dominica, Sister Mary Bernadette, you've known me, and of course all of you know me since then, but your prayers and your living of your vocation has been an inspiration to me. And I am deeply grateful for all of you. I want to make note of and express my thanks for some that have passed on already. Father Clement Kubisch. You've often heard me quote him, and I realized as the years went on how much I looked up to him. And I had the privilege of being present for his 40th ordination anniversary. We celebrated it in 1973, and perhaps I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on, maybe downstairs, and I'm happy that you will be able to join in the celebration. But Father Clement Kubisch actually made a prophecy, I think, or a prediction in my regard. I remember one time I was suffering through a great period of scruples, and it was going on month after month, maybe even years. And I remember one day he said to me in a confession, he said, "I think God's having you go through this so that you can help people one day. That prediction came true. I also want to express my gratitude to Bishop George Musey, who ordained me. He came at a time when we had difficulties in our history and says CMRI, and he was our bishop for about a year and a half, I believe. But were it not for him, I would obviously not have received, he's the one who ordained me, so I have to credit him and thank him for that. Also, Father Dennis Chicoine, our first elected Superior General of CMRI, who helped me, especially when I was a young religious. I remember him counseling me and encouraging me, and it was always an inspiration to see how much he loved our Blessed Mother and was so zealous for promoting the message of Fatima and going on lecture tours. Among his many other duties, I owe him a great debt of gratitude. Also to Archbishop Go Dinh Tuc, whom I never met, but all of us clergy in this sanctuary right now, we owe it to Bishop Tuc, who courageously consecrated bishops to keep the traditional Catholic faith going. And I just noticed in the introit for today, the second half of the introit, Misericordias Domini in aeternum cantabo, the mercies of the Lord I will sing forever. He made that his personal episcopal motto. And so we have to have thanks to this Vietnamese bishop who suffered for the church, but did what needed to be done. And his remote spiritual son, Father Joseph Pham, is there in Vietnam. Remember how we regretted losing Father Pham here at the Mount, but he's needed very much in Vietnam. As far as I know, the only traditional Catholic priest there. So in a way, our gift back to Vietnam, returning a favor that we have received very abundantly from Archbishop Go Dinh Tuc. And today is also a historical day because earlier today, the Society of Saints Pius X consecrated four more bishops. And I'm in support of this. I just wish they did it for the right reason, not in disobedience to the one they think is the head of the church, but because the chair of Peter had been truly vacant. But I'll just leave it at that. But I have a final thanks, and it is to all of you, every one of you, to all of my parishioners. I recall a quote that was attributed to St. Augustine. My people have made me who I am. And that makes a lot of sense as you think about it. I mean, what would a parent be without children? Couldn't be a parent. And in raising those children, the parents develop their parenthood, do they not? So it's the same with priests. I can see why St. Augustine said that. My people have made me. And just trying to be the best priest I could be for you, you have helped me. And also, so many of you have inspired me, helped me, encouraged me, and so my thanks is to each and every one of you. And I hope I haven't missed anyone from this list. If I have, that I should be thanking today, my sincerest apologies. But again, I will be thanking God personally for all of you, all this entire list, because again, it is your assistance that has brought me to this day, your prayers especially. As I look back on the 40 years that I have been privileged to exercise the priestly ministry, I have often thought of the words of our Lord to the apostles, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And as I can see in my life, everything pointed in that direction, to be not only a priest, but a member of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, which has provided so well for me, as it does for all of its members. It provides spiritually, even temporally, educationally, all these things our religious congregation gives to us. So, as I said, it is that fact that our Lord chose me in this context. And I want to share with you, and I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, something that was a really solidifying fact or piece of inspiration, you might say, for my vocation. I was on retreat at the City of Mary for the priesthood, and needless to say, I had some anxious feelings. Can I possibly do this? I mean, I had already taken final vows, had already was a subdeacon, already had made that point of no return, but still the anxiety, the worry, the wondering if, when it comes to the priesthood, because there's so much responsibility attached to it. And I remember walking outside the church, and I think it was a windy day. And it's one of those quiet periods, you're just, you know, taking advantage of a little spiritual walk. It was right outside the church, and I saw, I can't remember if the piece of paper was already there or if it had just blown there. So, of course, I picked it up. I think I had to unfold it. And I couldn't believe my eyes, what I read on there. It says, you get the most out of life by giving the most. You get the most out of life by giving the most. And that was like a clinching. I mean, I knew I was going to be ordained, but what it just gave me a greater sense of commitment. Wow. It's like that dropped right out of heaven. I mean, what's the chance of a piece of paper blowing by or just being there and that you open it up and has the perfect saying that you needed? And I don't know what I did with that piece of paper. I think I would have kept it. It disappeared just as it mysteriously appeared. So a grace that I received, and I think kind of a very direct sort of message from heaven. And it's true of all of us that the more we give, the more we receive. The more we try to do for God and souls, the more we receive. So I say to you also, on this day, my anniversary, which I'm privileged to celebrate, you get the most out of life by giving the most. I was ordained on the Feast of the Most Precious Blood of Jesus, and I had no say in that choice happening. I'm sure it was the decision Father Dennis made at the time with Bishop Musey, but how fitting that we have this feast. Just as we have Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, so we have to have Sanguis Christi, the blood of Christ. You receive the blood of Jesus in every Holy Communion. Yes, there's those two separate consecrations which show the mystical death of our Lord, that show his dying on the cross, his blood being shed again, which happens in every single Mass. And so what a privilege to be ordained on a feast that honors the price of our redemption. In the Old Testament, blood was regarded as so important and as a symbol of life that they were not allowed to consume blood. Not that people usually did, but you know, you couldn't use it in cooking or anything because life and blood were considered like equivalents. However, blood flowed so often, according to the Mosaic law, every morning and every evening a lamb was sacrificed. The blood flowed. And there were also grain offerings and offerings of other animals. But by law, every single day, two lambs were slain and offered. So we can see how important blood is. We know physiologically, if we lost our blood, we wouldn't be alive. And by the way, giving blood, what a great corporal work of mercy to do whenever you can. Give your blood to those that need it. King David shed a lot of blood in his conquests, and he was supposed to do it. God told him to subjugate, you know, certain tribes that were there. But for that reason, he was not allowed to build the temple because he had shed so much blood. His son Solomon, who ended up having terrible spiritual problems later on, he was allowed, Shalomon, and Shalom means peace. He was the king of peace. He was allowed to build the temple because he had not shed blood. But in the New Testament, we see that the blood needs to continue to flow, and it does in every Mass. And as St. Paul says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we thank Jesus for his plan, his will, his mercy to keep shedding his blood over and over again in a mystical way so that we might live, so that we might grow, so that we might save our souls. And so, what is the price of our redemption? You know, if you saw an expensive thing that you didn't know the price of, and let's say there was a curtain over it and it was going to be revealed at the last minute what this house cost or this car cost or this piece of jewelry cost, and then the veil is taken away and you see the price tag, that's the cost. And on this day, I would like you to remove that veil from your soul and ask yourself, what is the price? What is the cost? And what will you see? You will see it, that it is the blood of Jesus himself. That's how precious our souls are to God. So again, I thank you for this, for everything that you've done for me. I want to thank in particular Father Philip, my fellow CMRI priest who labors with me here. He's playing the organ. Sister Mary Petra, I believe, is directing the choir. You know, I really enjoy music, so thank you for singing this beautiful Mass. And again, we thank Jesus for his precious blood. In the name of the Father, and of his Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.